And our guest here is Representative Roger Victory this morning. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Jew. As you mentioned on the air, it's warm in the studio. It definitely is a warm day.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Very warm day, and that's kind of nice for a change.
It is a pleasant, compared to what we've been having earlier this winter and this spring, this is a pleasant surprise. I know it's getting warmer out. On the way to Holland this morning, a gentleman passed me on his motorcycle with a short sleeve shirt on.
Oh,
and,
he
had a smile on his face yet, too. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the farmers are cheering, too. For
that is. The fields are drying up. Activities are starting to take place. And I'd like to inform the listeners out there, too, at this time of the year, be a little cautious. Farm implements will be out and about on the roads. Make sure you don't approach them too quickly. Keep your speeds down when approaching some of these larger farm equipment as they traverse the roads throughout the state of Michigan, and safety first. Keep that in mind. So just give a few minutes so you'll get there, and if you're going to have to pass them, make sure you get a clear vision at that point.
And I would like to say to them, if they notice any traffic behind them stacking up, they better pull off the road.
Exactly. There's a two-way street on that, per se, and the operators are to do your due diligence, make sure we're all safe out there, and allow everyone to get to be where they need to be, and also make sure the functions can be done at appropriate time.
All right. What's going on in Lansing? Dead this week.
Well, but yet a lot of activity in the news about the road funding that's being brought out there. The speaker came forth with a proposal to generate $500 million or $500 million for the funding areas. And it's an interesting proposal. I believe it's a start. We need it. I'm sure the listeners know firsthand as they drive the roads of West Michigan and throughout the state of Michigan, there's definitely a need out there. And so the proposal is to do some refining of some of the taxation on the fuel aspect, like the repeal of the 19 cents per gallon on the gasoline and the 14 on the diesel, and replace it with a 6% at the wholesale level. And at basically at $3.50 a gallon, that would be revenue neutral. But as if it goes above the $3.50, it would bring in additional money. But at least that has an inflationary factor to it. There's some components to the funding mechanism of increasing the fees of overweight trucks. Overweight fees bring some revenue there. And also dedicating some of these revenue streams that we've been working with sustainability. Instead of this going through appropriations annually, they will be dedicated to highway funding. So in the full package, give or take, we have $500 million or $500 million dedicated to highway funding and get us moving in that direction. The need is greater, but let's get this thing moving. And so that's the work that's going to be taking place. I know last week some of the bills were introduced or into committee, and so we'll be working on that at that point in time going forward.
Yeah. Are they going to be working on the ones that are already in the planning stage, or
right? Well, also I want to inform the listeners: we've already approved $215 million additional money for roads. $100 million is going, I would say, into the locals' hands for the pothole repair, for back funding from some additional snow removal that did occur. That salt that was used, you know, there's a cost. Most of our locals, their budgets went through that very quickly.
Right.
And there's some need there. So that's where that $100 million is for. Then there's $115 million that will go for specific projects. And we've got a big project that's occurring right here in the Holland area between Grand Haven. The southbound lanes of 31 from from Quincy up to Ferris Street. I think it's an 18-mile stretch there. It's going to be reconditioned and repaved.
Mm-hmm.
So those projects that are coming out of that $115 million.
Okay.
So, a little bit here, a little bit there, but there again, I do believe I will be working with my fellow legislators going forward to additional funding mechanisms going forward. So, but it's a start, and it's needed.
Yes, indeed. All right. 395-1450, if you'd like to talk to our representative here this morning. Our lines are open, and we'll take a moment out for a word and be right back.
Tuesday mornings, get answers to your lawn and garden questions. Master Gardener Jan Musen joins Juke Benoss on Talk of the Town, presented by Outback Greenhouse, DeBryan Seed Store, Jack's Greenhouse, Bosch's Landscape and Lawn, and Bill's Greenhouse on WHTC.com and 1450 WHTC.
Representative Roger Victory here with us in the studio, and 395-1450 is our number. If you'd like to talk to him, you can do so. Our line is open right now. All right, what else is going on in Lansing?
Well, we were talking about the tough condition of the roads because of the hard winter. We had another issue that faced us with the school days. Remember days that got snow days affecting
right.
that? So House Bill 4295 addresses the high amount of snow days through the 2013 and 2014 school year. And it's kind of a complicated formula here, but basically if a school has in its schedule more than 174 days, they won't get penalized as long as they meet 1,098 hours of instruction. And but also keeping in mind that if they have to extend to a couple makeup days, that they, as long as they make 60% of attendance, they will still meet their requirements and receive their foundation grant money coming
okay.
forward. So this was a concern to some of our northern districts, but even some of our districts typically don't have this issue in our southern part of the state of Michigan. And so there was something need to be taking place on this and make sure they make their funding will be
right.
held hold. And so this is something that we will have to move through and get this passed in a timely fashion, too.
Okay. 395-1450 here. Talk to town. And anything new on... let's see. I read something about... Joe Havman is trying to get the... fees reduced that they have to pay on a fine after the fine.
Right, yes. The tax, and for those accountability fees.
Yeah.
Erroneous tax. It was something I signed on as a co-sponsor there, too. And these are driver responsibility taxations. And it's tough because you're already been beaten down. And it's imposing on many of our citizens out there. So there's an opportunity to move forward on it. This has been a passion of Joe Hoffman and also of Representative Hoffman and myself, too, that we got an opportunity. Let's eliminate this here. It's an erroneous tax. It picks on some of our citizens and constituents that are already been beaten down. They've paid their court fees. They've paid their due diligence on this here, and then on top of it, they have this additional. Sometimes it can add up to $1,000 plus, and it's we need to move forward on it.
Not to mention the increase in insurance they'll probably get.
Exactly. Yep. So hopefully we get that taken care of and find a means to funnel that. Funds for that to replace that. So, and I respect the good work of Representative Hobbin, the chairman of appropriations, and he sees an opportunity that we can move forward and as we move the state in the right direction.
I get a lot of the judges in here and they don't like it at all.
Well, they see the impact of it.
Yeah.
It just, it's kind of a debtor's tax per se. You know, it goes back to those days and it was something that we garnered some money to pull the state through when we were down economically. But let's, as we move forward, let's take the opportunity and repeal this and move forward and don't take advantage of these people who've already paid their fine, paid their court cases, and the judges see firsthand how it's debilitating to those members of our society that fall into that category.
All right. And we are here with Representative Roger Victory this morning. 395-1450 is the number. And since you are new in the office, I anticipate you'll be running again.
Yeah, it is primary season coming up here, and elections are coming up, so we're working hard out there, just being out in the community and listening to what their needs are. So it's a part of the process, and hopefully the voters will vote us, put the West Michigan team back in place.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right.
Does it interfere much with your farm work?
Well, yeah, fortunately we have a good team. I have a brother that's a family member that helps. That's important to have a good solid family member there taking on the operations and had some other people that took on some of my responsibilities. So as I say, it's a collaborative effort and made one year through the process and seems to be they've been making it happen and also find some advantages of delegating those responsibilities out and they have done a great job. So it's good, need support of the family, and also that good hired help.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good.
That it is. And also what's important, too, is taking those real-life experiences operating a business and taking that to Lansing. That, I think that's a great opportunity to have in Lansing, is a person that's actively in business.
Absolutely.
And taking that skill set, and when you're taking on these number of bills that you're dealing with and running it through that lens of as a small business owner, as a farmer, and taking in how is it going to impact the business
right.
community,
right.
the hardworking men and women of the district and go in that direction. So I think it's a real privilege to have that opportunity and serve the district of the 88th.
I remember it must be 25, 30 years ago when we had a fruit farmer from Bangor that was in the house.
Yeah, and and we have some other members too. Dave Pagel, he's a representative from Southwest Michigan. He's an apple grower and also apple processor. And there, too, I can see him and I sometime get together and say, boy, how's this going to impact as a part of business shoes on and analyzing these bills and laws that we're going to potentially place and pass through. And it's a privilege to have that opportunity.
Well, some people have very little idea as to what the farmer is up against all the time.
Exactly, and not just the farmer, but as a business owner, a person who hires people, those regulatory controls and how burdensome that can be, and make sure that we don't increase those regulatory controls and make sure that it's a better place to operate a business in the state of Michigan, and that's how we grow our economy and grow the economy, grow strong families, and then grow a strong West Michigan.
Had anybody come up with an idea for doing something about the bee population?
Jute, you bring that up. That's something I want to inform the listeners. I serve on the Agricultural Committee and the Natural Resources Committee. And that's a serious issue because the bees are instrumental in a pollination of our fruits and vegetables. And West Michigan, we got the fruit belt, the ridge, they call it. And bees are important, and our blueberry production, which we're a top producer of.
Got a call here.
Will do.
Yes, you're on the line with Roger.
Good morning, Duke. Thank you for taking my call. Mr. Victory, I'm glad you brought up something about regulatory control and bureaucracies, things of that nature, and trying to get things done on the farm and keeping costs in check and everything. I heard in the past couple of weeks that now painters need to be licensed in the state of Michigan. And it seems to me that doesn't do a whole lot to save anybody on a fixed income or senior citizens or working stiffs any money whatsoever. And I can understand somebody in Lansing and some bureaucrat saying, oh boy, we get to hire a few more people, and all of this is for the public good. This is for safety. This is for the public good. And things are going crazy. We've got too much government. We've got too many regulations. We've got too much licensing. We've got too many ways that entrepreneurs are stymied and blocked, and not enough ways for people to find liberty and save money. We're regulated to death. It seems to me they ought to pass a law in Lansing that every new law they pass, they've got to take one off the books.
Yes, the caller here has a very valid point here, these regulatory controls. And, highlighting the licensing of painters. Now, what happens is there might be a situation out there, and we pass a bill in pursuit of a potential problem. And one of the problems was with the lead paint issue. And with this lead paint issue, then they felt they had to address it by with the painters in the process and how they're going to handle that lead paint. And then we get to a point of how do we get here. So I agree with you, and you bring a very valid point, is how do we get here when we have to license our painters because of addressing something with the lead paint of that was applied 20-some years ago.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I'd just encourage.
I appreciate your point of view, and keep encouraging us because we need to hear that message loud and clear.
Yeah, well, I don't think that Amanda Price and Joe Hoffman did anything to help along those lines recently when they expanded Medicare and voted for Common Core. I don't know where some of our representatives get their notions to vote, but it doesn't seem they really get them from the people as much as they should anymore. So I'd encourage you to keep coming on Juke's show and let's do what we can to have less government and fewer regulations.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. And thank you for your call. And as I encourage all the listeners out there, please call into shows like Juke or call our office and make sure your concerns are known to us, because that's how the process is supposed to work.
That's right. And we got another call here, I believe. Good morning, Talk to Town.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, I had that last caller. I guess, Mr. Victor, do you believe that the government's too big? Because it sounds like we got too many people sitting behind a desk coming up with ways to make money off of working people. It sounds like you are for small business, the working, man and woman, but it just seems like government's too big. They got too much time on their hands to come up with ways to make money. Can you reply to that, and I'll listen?
Thank you. Yes, the caller has a very good point there of a concern of what the size of government. But we also have to have our voice in Lansing, because besides the 110 representatives in the House, there's 5,000 people that work for the various departments, DEQ, Health and Human Services, and the list goes on. And for a person from West Michigan that has a concern that might be dealing with DEQ, where is their voice can be heard? And that's with their elected official, their representative, or their senator to go bring that concern to a department like mm-hmm. DEQ or Department of Treasury and have that voice be heard. So it's important to maintain those offices of representatives and senators so that we're not disenfranchised and not rolled over by these large departments such as Treasury, DEQ, and Department of Health and Human Services. And we do that on a daily basis, and I can't get into all the details or specifics of these cases, but these individuals are appreciated that they have a voice in Lansing to represent their specific needs.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, just a comment about education. We're kind of easy to cut days of teaching. I understand third world countries are going year-round, and we're almost at the bottom of the standards to compete with math and science around the world. We got our priorities mixed up here. In order for us to compete, we have to educate our people to get the jobs that are necessary to compete with the world. That's my comment.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the caller brought into the subject matter of year-round education, and actually we have funded a pilot program this year for some schools that want to institute a year-round educational. It's optional. We don't need to force any individual district to go that direction, but we're no longer an agrarian economy, and as we move forward, we have to embrace every potential technique to enhance our educational experiences for our young people. So those are every option should be on the table, and we, again, are working with a pilot program to allow some districts to retrofit their schools to allow a year-round program to exist on a voluntary basis.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a choice of the locals and a choice of the districts if they want to have an option of that type of program.
Okay, 395-1450, our number here. I guess that's why I brought up the bees, because the mm-hmm. bees, I don't know how much voice the beekeepers have in Lansing. But
That's, as one of the callers says, we make sure we contain the size of government, but we have to make sure that we have these bee people protected, and their voice needs to be heard,
mm-hmm.
and they are heard. I mean, we heard some good testimony in Natural Resources Committee, what things that could be done, how can we enhance the bee population, because it is critical for our well-being and our survival, for make sure that we have these fruits and vegetables readily available to enhance our diet and make sure we have a healthy society.
And very important.
Very important.
All right.
Some of those small issues can be a very large issues if they're neglected.
Well, I think it was Albert Schweitzer who said, without bees, our civilization could die in 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep, God did amazing things in his creation, and everything in the creation has a component to it. And in his wisdom, he has crafted a beautiful society out there of living organisms.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right, 395-1450 here. What's coming up next week?
Well, we just came through committee on a secondary use for manufacturing byproducts. And this is something that's very much needed, too. things such as foundry sands and also products that come from paper mills and also from our coal-fired power plants, products that can be used in our economy that currently might be going to a landfill. And especially in our district here, foundry sands, we can recycle those foundry sands and replace those in the economic stream. For example, I talked to some of the dairy farmers up in the northern part of my district. They would have accessibility to for this if we get this moved forward, and we're aggressively going moving this forward. Instead of paying $6 a yard for new virgin sand, they could acquire this sand for $2 a yard and be using their facilities for bedding and material and things like that, lowering their costs. Just no nonsense, remove those regulatory controls. And then, meantime, that sand doesn't have to tie up our landfills.
Right.
And there's other areas, probably products from paper mills that could be used for fertilizers and lime material on our fields, but make sure that they meet the GAMPs, but remove those regulatory controls, but still be using sound science, protect our environment, which is very important, and get these products utilized in our economy and not being tied up in our landfills, and reducing the cost of our manufacturers in the state of Michigan, too.
A lot of factories have those foundry sands that they have a pile of them.
Exactly. And there's these byproducts could easily be used in road construction and other, as I just mentioned, in our dairy operations for bedding material. But there again, using sound science, protecting the environment, making sure the GAMPs, generally accepted manufacturing procedures, are maintained. So, and that's just addressing, as a previous caller was saying, let's remove some of those regulatory controls. Let's make this economy work while we're still maintaining our environmental concerns.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that idea, but it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And that's why this was important to me. We got this passed through committee, and I'll continue to navigate this through the process and be a spokesperson on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any money we can save the farmers help?
Well, not just farmers, also the manufacturing community, anyone in the business community.
Mm-hmm.
And protecting the environment at the same time.
Okay, 395-1450. Anything else coming up next week?
Well, as again, I think what we're going to be addressing is this funding mechanism for our roads. If any of the callers have any ideas on that process, please let us know. I'm always giving a listening ear on that there. But we do need to have a sustainable funding mechanism for our roads. This is a first step. We're going to continue to work on it and continue to find solutions for this and and also, as we go forward, make sure the contractors are held accountable for their work, too. That's part of the solution that we're bringing forward, accountability in that.
Yeah, we have, I think we've experienced in the last 20 years problems on new highways that where they had to rebuild a bridge and that sort of thing. And
make sure there's accountability for that. But also realize if you're going to have implied warranties in the system, then those who are bidding on it, we're going to probably upcharge that a little bit, too. So it's just like when you're buying a new vehicle versus a used vehicle, there's more warranty with that new vehicle. So there's always that built into the cost. But that would be part of the formula we'd be working with, and every option we should look at and see how it would play out.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes. Isn't part of that gas tax now for schools? What they're going to do about that?
The portion that we will be putting in does not affect the school portion. That still is going to be dedicated toward the schools, the sales tax. Thank you.
So the sales tax still goes where it
Yeah, the sales tax. What we're talking about is a 19 cents dedicated cents per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about that 6% portion.
That's going to go for highways.
That the 19 cents amount that was on the gasoline will be taken off and then put into a 6% wholesale tax portion. But the sales tax portion will still maintain there. And there's a small amount of that sales tax that does not go for the schools, but that will be stayed. We're not touching that part. But again, we're addressing that 19 cents per gallon dedicated toward the highway funding. That's going to be turned into a percentage basis.
And the budget's on track to...
They are working. I talked to Representative, the Chairman, Joe Hobman, this morning. They had they have been making some votes. They've been getting the portions of this budget passed through a committee. So they are on time to do their due diligence in a timely fashion.
Okay. That's
good to hear. That's this, that's a new trend in Lansing. I want to thank our leadership on that process and also those who serve on the probes to keep that tight time schedule up, because if we can get that done, we can keep the state moving in the right direction and build it to be a better state.
Because a lot of people around the state are kind of waiting.
They count on, they depend on that in a timely fashion, because they need to correlate their budgets accordingly. And so we can do do our work in a timely fashion. Others can do their work in a timely fashion.
One quick question for our guest. Yes.
Yes, quick question. Now, these electric cars, they don't burn gas. How are you going to make any money off these people that have the electric cars? May I suggest maybe an extra $100 on the yearly legislation?
Let me let him answer that. Thank you.
You know, that's a very plausible response to that. There has been talk of that. There are registration fees on certain vehicles, and somehow we need to capture revenue of those vehicles, too, because they use the roads, and they need to be funding the roads, too. Thank you for the input.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, Roger, we thank you very much for being
Jude,
our guest.
Well, Jude, it's always a pleasure.
Talk to the town, and look forward to next visit next month.
It's always, we'll be looking for that, too.